Hello, this is Janet Meshagan Watson, and this is part two of the prophetic lesson on being obedient to the heavenly vision. Let's join the message in progress.
The Holy Spirit just spoke to me. He said, you're concerned about how you're going to stand. You're going to stand by letting the Spirit flow through you. You know, we want it to stop with us, and we want to feel something. He says, if you are available to me, you cannot fall. Because His Spirit is sustaining you. And even if it looks like you have given up your flesh, there's a scripture I may or may not get to, so I'm going to say it right now. A scripture that had sometimes stymied me, where Jesus is speaking, and He talks about the things that are coming, and He says, but not some of you are going to die. And then He goes right a sentence later and says, but not a hair on your head will be harmed. And I've wondered, some are dying, but not a hair on your head will be harmed. We don't understand the meaning of that scripture. What He's saying is, in terms of your eternal purpose, in terms of the heavenly vision, it doesn't matter if they put you behind a car and drag you down a road and there's nothing that resembles you. The heavenly vision is in you, and not a hair on that heavenly vision has been lost. Nothing happens to you of which God is not aware. He is aware of it and working it toward His eternal purpose. And His eternal purpose is to form in you the heavenly vision that you've seen. So it doesn't matter that you've looked like you've died for the cause. Let no one say how they have suffered, but let them say the will of God has been performed. And there is no greater calling than to do what I have said in these last days. Amen and amen. Oh my God, we're gonna get this. We're gonna get this. And we're gonna run with this. Oh, say she needs some water. That water that's spewing out of my mouth, I need to return. You do not realize the gift that is within you. So these scriptures, a lot of them we've looked at so much till it's like, oh yeah, you go ahead. Oh yeah, I know that one. We don't know it. If we knew it, we wouldn't be discouraged. 1 Corinthians 3:16 through 17. The verse right before this, he's talking to the people at Corinth, the church at Corinth, and he's saying, you're behaving like mere men. In other words, the meaning was mere unchanged men, just like everybody else. Then he comes down in verse 16 and says, do you not know that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple. Now, who is he addressing here? I know I sound like a broken record because I'm always pointing you to this. He's addressing Christians. Because the sinner is not a temple of God. Because he has no access to the Spirit of God. Do y'all understand? He's addressing Christians. Those that are filled with Christ are those who have begun the process. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. The heavenly vision shows you the temple that you are. It's not to be defiled. Well, I know what she's got in mind. Well, I got a lot of things in mind, I guess, if I could think about them. But I'll boil it down to one word: disobedience. Let's try another one: rebellion. A couple of words: being stiff-necked. You know what I'm saying? Any of the things we could name here that we know are obviously sins come out of disobedience and rebellion, don't they? And it defiles the temple. It defiles the temple. Matthew 21, I bring this scripture a lot, 12 through 13. Jesus went into the temple. This is the Amplified version. And it says the whole temple enclosure. And drove out all who bought and sold in the sacred place. And he turned over the four-footed tables of the money changers and the chairs of those who sold doves. It doesn't matter if something is in your life 4 feet makes a stable object. You understand? 4 feet makes a stable object. Something on 3 feet you can push over easier than something on 4 foot. It doesn't matter if the devil has a four-footed hold somewhere in your life. If you'll let Christ walk in, he'll put him out. But you have to be willing. He said to them, the scripture says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. My house. But you have made it a den of robbers. Now, these were the religious folk. And now we as Christians, we bring a lot of things into the temple of Christ that have no place there. Our devices, our manipulations, our operations, our planning, our conniving. Oh, let it go. Let it go. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And I felt somebody with a conniving spirit kind of buck up in you, but you didn't realize it. But I'm going to tell you what happened with you. You've been hurt a lot in your life. And at some point, you made a personal swear or an oath. I'm speaking this to you by the Spirit. I'll never be hurt again. And you don't realize, I'm just looking back and forth so I don't catch your eye. You don't realize that that oath you've made is making you try to control other folk. And you're a conniver and you're a manipulator. And it's not working for you. And you wonder why everything you put your hand on is falling apart. The Lord says, I see you're hurt. He said, all I want you to do is lay down your bag of tricks. Lay down your devices. And I'll receive you in, and I'll heal you. I'll heal the broken heart, and I'll restore you. And he said, now you won't be using those tools of the enemy. He said, you will be a vessel of healing to others. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, if that was for you, receive it. Receive it. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, however, we possess this precious treasure. And the Amplified explains that's the divine light of the gospel. Now, what is this? The heavenly vision. The gospel is just the overall heavenly vision, what God wants to do or has done through Jesus Christ. The personal heavenly vision is where I see how what he's going to do, particularly in my life. It says we possess this treasure, this heavenly vision, in frail human vessels of earth, that the grandeur and exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God and not from ourselves. He knows your frame. He knows you're weak. But he also knows your eternal spirit and what he wants to do with it. And a lot of people, because of insecurities or whatever, have tried to make themselves look, even in ministry, you know, and I anybody that calls the name of Jesus Christ, it's just sad, however we do this in life. Let me expand it to that. We'll try to make ourselves look a certain way, powerful or anointed or whatever. And as long as you're trying to make the flesh look that way, now I'm not going to qualify, y'all know what I'm talking about. But as long as we're trying to do that through the flesh, we're missing where it needs to be done. Where it needs to be done is saying, you know what? I'm wretched and undone without Christ. But with Christ, I can run through a troop and jump over a wall. He will work through you. It's not about your weakness or your strength. It's about your willingness. It's not about your weakness or your strength. It's about your willingness. It's not about your weakness or your strength. It's about your willingness. See, you want to feel strong before you do something. You want to feel strong before you do something. Recognize the strength of Christ. See the heavenly vision and you'll do it. You won't think about it. The flow of the latter day rain is, he's flowing right through us. There's a lot of things the Lord is going to perform that you won't even be thinking about in advance. It'll just be performed through you because you are willing, available, and obedient. And you'll look just like, you'll be an observer like, has the Lord ever spoken something through you? And you hear it and you go, wow. Now imagine that, as wonderful as that is. And if I say anything to you that sounds helpful to you, believe me, it's of the Holy Ghost. But now imagine taking that same concept. I'm speaking to you by the Spirit. Imagine taking that same concept and now your behavior, the works that you do, flow out of you before you even know what you were doing. And you look back at it and you go, wow. That, ladies, are you listening to me? Are you focused in on the word? That's what the latter day rain is about, where you're not going to struggle anymore. Well, what should I do? Or should I? It's going to be done before you know it. That's where I want to be. I was praying to the Lord again this week. It's a regular prayer. I said, I don't want to have a will of my own. I said, take me over. Make me do what you want me to do. I don't want an agenda. I don't want a desire. I don't want a will. There's nothing I want but for you to take me over. Make me do it. Make me do it. Make me do it. Make me do it. You say, well, Sister Janet, the Lord won't do that. Oh, yes, he will. And I'll tell you why. Because my will is for that to happen. Now, he won't go across your will. But if your will is toward him, he'll cut right through all that mess that's been keeping you back. But now here's, now y'all know I always have to have a fly in the ointment for you, right? You can't choose what you're going to keep. You can't choose what you're going to keep. Lord, I wanted you to deliver me from this and that and this and that. But this little thing right here, Lord, really, it's not doing that much harm. And he says, why don't you come back when you're ready? Now, what makes you ready? Oh, God. You hit it right, the nail on the head, brokenness. How much more stuff have you got to go through before you're ready to let go of that stinks? Have you ever known somebody to keep something so long and it's just like corrupted? And you say, why don't they get rid of that? It's easy to see when it's somebody else's stink, isn't it? We've gotten used to our own smell. That was worth the price of admission today, wasn't it? I'm going to move really quickly now. He says, you do not realize the gift that is within you. That was the treasure, the temple of God. Jesus comes into by way of the heavenly vision and rids your temple of all that defiles it if you'll let him. And if you won't let him, you're defiling the temple and you're going to be destroyed. And then you hear about the precious treasure. And it doesn't matter how weak the vessel is, if the vessel is willing. He says, you have become so accustomed to operating at a deficit. He says, operating with your crutches to try to attain a fulfilled existence. And if you look in Genesis 3:10, I'll just tell you the story. You know Adam and Eve, the rebellion, the way that's represented in the Bible. And then when God came down to talk to them as he did every day, they weren't anywhere around. God calls them. Finally, Adam comes sliming out. And he says, where were you? And Adam says, I hid from you because I was naked and afraid. I hid from you. And what the Lord is saying in this message to you is, how long are you going to go hiding? How long are you going to go hiding? Yeah, you've messed up. We all have the sin nature. You've messed up. He said, but how long are you going to hide? You need to come running out. Nakedness and all. And let me clothe you. But no, what do? We look for this crutch or that. What we wear, who we are, how we look, who we're with. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Crutches trying to make us attain some sense of fulfillment. And it's all going south quickly. Let me go past that. Some of you aren't ready to hear that, but you will be. He said, I am has prepared a place for you and is drawing you ever closer to total realization of the vision. Total realization of the vision. I'm just going to give you the scriptures, Colossians 1, 15 through 22, where it says that Jesus Christ is the visible representation of an invisible God. It's not two people. When God is revealed to you, it is Jesus Christ. Let me read you the first line of that. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before God made anything at all and is supreme over all creation. It says Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. Please read that. I'm going to put it on the website. I don't have time to go on. But it's talking about what God has done through Christ. The realization of the vision, the heavenly vision, what God has done through Christ, not just to all but to you, not just to all but to you, not just to all but to you, the heavenly vision of what God wants to do through you, through Jesus Christ. He said, Christ in you is reforming your spirit into the image of that which is all in all. And he gave me an example in my mind, which obviously is not a direct comparison because we're talking about comparing a physical thing to help you understand a spiritual. But being reformed is like, have you ever seen wood that's petrified? Y'all know what petrified wood is? It looks like it's now like rock, but it looks like the original wood. You know how that happened? First of all, that piece of wood gets enclosed in a place where no oxygen can get to it. It can't decay. Okay, first of all, there has to be something that keeps you from decaying. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, sing that with me one time. Let's start with O. Stand up a second. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood. Repeat that again. Nothing but the blood. One more time. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, one more time. Oh, no. Oh, precious is the flow. Oh, Holy Spirit, take us over. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood. Say it again, nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. One more time. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You can just stay standing. The Lord has told me that the rest of this, oh Lord, the hours I spent, but He did the work. But I want to explain why you're listening in your spirit. That wood is kept where the oxygen cannot corrupt. The blood of Jesus Christ covers you. But in that place of separation, in that place of safety, the secret place of the Most High God is Jesus Christ in His blood. In that place of safety and separation, now Christ, just like those minerals, begin to infuse that wood. And although you may look and it may look the same at the molecular, all the way down to the molecular level, it is different. And now it's either quartz or chalcedony or some other type of silica. It's a stone with a 7 hardness. No longer just wood that can burn. And the Lord said, let me cover you in the secret place. See the heavenly vision. See what I have prepared for you. Under the blood be still and let me do the work. Let every part of Jesus Christ, see, when you're under His blood, now He's in you and you're in Him and He is permeating every part of your being. Oh, don't let it just stop at one area or the other. Let Him permeate every part of your being. And whereas once you were stubble and hay, it could be burned away, now you are a jewel in the crown of God, formed by way of Jesus Christ. That's what the heavenly vision is about. Seeing what God has done through Jesus Christ for you. Oh, submit yourself to the process. Oh, get under the flow of Jesus Christ's blood. Stay under the flow of Jesus Christ's blood and let Him do that silent work. You are not alone. It is Christ doing it in you, forming in you the Spirit, the eternal gifted Spirit, forming in you now that was once alienated from God, the eternal gifted Spirit that has the image of Christ. And when the latter day rain of fire comes down, you're not wood that's going to burn. You're a stone, and you're going to stand, and you're going to see the coming of Jesus Christ, and you're going to go with Him. In Colossians 3, about verse 3 and 4, it says, you have died. And part of this prophetic word, Jesus Christ spoke to me and He said, please, die in my arms. Come and die in my arms. Oh God, die in His arms to the flesh, to the world, to your hurts, to your experience, to what people have thought or what people have done to you. Die in the arms of your Savior. It says you have died in Him. But then about verse 4 it says, but when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear with Him in the splendor of His glory. You'll be fully overtaken. Just like that petrified wood is completely overtaken by the minerals that were allowed to flow through it in that secret place. Do you want that today? Do you want that today? I'm going to take a moment and pray. If you need to go, Lord bless you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed. We're not going to spend a long time with this today, but I want to give you a point of contact. What are you going to be saying? Lord, show me the heavenly vision. Now, He is not a respecter of persons. He won't show it to one and not show it to all if you ask. I'm just going to have you walk by. I'm just going to stand. I'm going to be praying back and forth. I'm going to light this up and I'll tell you when. There's 10 candles there. Do you know that 10 is the number of completion in the Bible? But also, according to the Jewish tradition, it also represents man's failure, but God's provision. Can you believe this? Man's failure, but God's provision. I've never lit those 10 candles there. But today I'm going to light them. And you come down, you have to look down a little bit to see yourself. But come, we'll come through this aisle and then just go out this way. If you have to go, fine. If not, worship with me. I'm not going to pray for you. This is you. This is you. Jesus coming down into the midst of you're going nowhere but to, maybe you're not going to hell. I don't think you are. But sorrow and disappointment and hurt. He's going to come down in the midst of that road to nowhere but hurt and trouble today, and he's going to reveal to you your heavenly vision. The question is, will you be obedient? And only you can answer that. And as you come forward and you look in that mirror briefly and you walk ahead while you're standing there, say, Lord, reveal to me the heavenly vision of not only what you've done for all through Jesus Christ, but what you've done for me. Beyond salvation, beyond forgiveness, to your eternal gifted spirit. See it. And then you won't take anything for it. If you have a hard time standing, get in line first. And then I'll tell you when to begin, but I'm going to go down and light that. Begin that music and let's just pray. Father, I thank you that the word was of you. If I have in any way failed to administer it the way that you gave to me, Lord, fill in the gap and make up the hedge and forgive me. But Lord, let the word be implanted. Oh God, help us to be the vessel of the latter day ministry in this earth. It's in Jesus' name and authority and under his blood we pray. And everybody said, amen.